Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity and give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people supporting me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Biz for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine brand of playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Get two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can find one of those over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine. Every purchase helps support the channel. It's greatly appreciated. So, with the Dominaria United set right around the corner here, I figured it was time to follow the trend of other content creators and do my own little preview of some of the legendary creatures that we'll be seeing in this upcoming set. However, since other creators have obviously gone into much deeper detail in this field, I am not going to attempt to copy what they have done. Instead, I'm going to give you my 5 picks for decks that I, MJ, might actually be tempted to build out of this set, and I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about why I think these commander cards are really cool, and maybe just kind of give some ideas for how I maybe would try to build around them. So without further ado, I would like to, and again, everything is on here on EDH Rec under the sets page for Dominaria United, so if you're interested in checking that out, go to edhrec.com/sets/DMU, and you can see all 40 legendary creatures from this set, 5 of which I will be talking about today. So the first one I would like to talk about is definitely an interesting one. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff that is coming out of this set, and a lot of things that kind of work with existing strategies and do kind of the same thing as other legends, but there's a lot of other cards in here that don't really do the same things, and it's that uniqueness that I really enjoy. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce the first card on this list, and that card is a Simic Commander. You've probably heard of them before. It is Tatiova, Steward of Tides. Tatiova is a 3/3 merfolk druid costing green, green, blue, and reads land creatures you control have flying. And whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, if you control 7 or more lands, up to 1 target land you control becomes a 3/3 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. So, again, the Zendikar sets have really liked looking at turning lands into creatures. It's something that really feels Vorthos-y flavor win, definitely. And, honestly, this seems like a really interesting deck, because while the original Tatiova was obviously play land, draw a card, gain life, you know, do that ad nauseum, honestly, I feel like this deck kind of works better for me as an aggro player, because it basically allows me to turn my lands into weapons against my opponents. So, again, the fact that all of your land creatures you control have flying is really nice. Flying is an awesome evasive ability, and you can obviously, in these two colors, have a bunch of ways to be able to buff those creatures, whether that's your giant growth, whether that's your overwhelming stampede, etc., etc. The fact that you can get a whole bunch of flying land creatures is really awesome. And what's also really great about lands, in particular, that are creatures, is the fact that if your board gets wiped, your lands are basically protected here. They are still lands, and that's really important. It says it's still a land. So whenever you have any kind of creature-based board wipe that requires, or any sort of non-land board wipe, I should say, your lands will still be out there. So it definitely forces your opponents to have to work quickly to try to take you out before you overrun them with a bunch of flying lands. And again, I really just enjoy this ability because it, one, forces you to obviously be able to get a bunch of lands out on the battlefield, but two, also allows you to play with a bunch of those old cards, like I said, from the Zendikar sets, which do allow you to play a bunch of lands and then also be able to buff them. And again, what I really love about green as a color in particular is the fact that you can, it's the color of buffing things. So the fact that your creatures, your land creatures, already have flying, and then you can buff them using Green's buffing abilities, plus just, you know, the nice generic value engines that Simic provides you for drawing cards, whether that's your Bind of Thassa, Reconnaissance Mission, or some of the awesome things in Green, especially. Again, your Return of the Wild Speakers, your Overwhelming Stampedes, things like that. I feel like this is a deck that's probably going to fall through the cracks, honestly, except for a few few Tatiova stands out there who are going to try to build this. But I just have a personal feeling that since this is an uncommon in the set, it's going to kind of fall through the cracks a little bit. So I think that this is definitely a worthy deck that I might even look into building. Obviously, maybe not keep around, but definitely something I'd be interested in building. Because again, it's fairly easy to get seven lands really quickly. And having a whole bunch of flying lands, especially three threes with haste, it definitely sounds like a nice way to get a nice Simic aggressive lands resistant to board wipes dot deck. And this sounds really interesting, and I'm definitely tempted to try to be able to build this when the set comes out. Second card I wanted to talk about here today is another Uncommon Legend. So again, a shout out to my buddy Cole over the Uncommon Commanders podcast. Obviously, Cole's going to be really busy trying to process some of these here at a later point when his podcast comes back from break. So I'm not going to try to steal too much of his thunder. But again, yeah, the second one here is an Uncommon. And again, I just really enjoy this this design space. It seems really cool. And that commander is Rada Coalition Warlord. Rada, this is obviously her fourth printing as a Magic card, and she's a 3/3 elf warrior, costing 2 red and a green, and has the new domain mechanic. And so it says, whenever Rada Coalition Warlord becomes tapped, another target creature you control gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of basic land types amongst lands you control. So again, there's been a lot of discourse on this online lately, saying, domain's not that good, blah, 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 every land type. Well, I'm going to be the first here to tell you, or another person to tell you, that I think Domain is actually really cool, and it forces you to have to really work around some of the rules of Commander. Obviously, since you're only in two colors, it may sound like you can only run Mountains and Forests in here, so you can only get +2/+2 anytime Rada gets tapped. But, again, since lands don't have any specific color type, you could actually technically run all five basic land types in your deck and be able to do +5/+5, or you could do something interesting like with Urborg, where all of a sudden now every land is also a swamp. Well, all of a sudden now Rada provides a +3/+3 boost. And if you play something like Nylea's Presence, which in the champion for 1 in green, which makes target land fit all basic land types, or you have Dryad the Elysian Grove, where all of your lands hit all land types, all of a sudden this is +5/+5. Now, I think the real challenge here and why people really don't like this card, or potentially sleeping on, again, pun intended there, or, you know, not pun intended, depending on how you want to look at it for this set especially, is the fact that Rada does not actually have a tap ability printed on the card. You actually have to find a way around this. But again, having just recently seen a deck where it was intentionally trying to find ways to tap and untap creatures in mono green, as well as my own experience with Selvala Twiddlestorm CDH, which does look to tap and untap your titular commander there, I feel like there's a lot of really cool little ways to be able to tap and untap Rada here to be able to really try to boost your whole team. I'm going to talk about the card Springleaf Drum, which is an artifact costing 1 colorless and says you can tap it and tap an untapped creature you control to generate 1 mana of any color. All of a sudden, Rada here, if you tap your commander, you will all of a sudden be able to create 2/3, +2/+3, whatever it is, for either herself or for another target creature, and you're also generating 1 mana of any color. And green does have some interesting ways to be able to untap creatures. There's a whole lot of, old-time sorceries and instants for 1 green, 2 green, etc., to be able to untap your creatures, or at least untap 1 creature. And more recently, we've seen a lot of little combat tricks to be able to do this, something like Stony Strength, which allows you to untap target creature for a single green, while also giving a stats boost. So there are definitely ways to be able to use Rada to be able to create a whole bunch of power toughness, either for herself or for another one of your creatures. Something else I think is also interesting to think about here is you could also run this as a vehicles deck, where you're running your commander as a way to be able to crew various different vehicles in there. So you're kind of doing the King Makar thing here from Theros, where you're trying to tap and then untap your commander to be able to crew a bunch of vehicles. And obviously, since vehicles have gotten a lot of support lately, that could definitely go in another way. But also, the way I look at this is you're running green, you're running all sorts of overwhelming stampede effects, you're running ways to be able to buff your creatures and then be able to power up the rest of your creatures using the same thing. And the fact that your commander here provides you an opportunity to be able to repeatedly buff your other creatures, then there's a card called Dragon Throne of Tarkir. And what's really awesome about that artifact is 4-cost artifact, and then you attach a target creature you control. And if you tap this and pay 2, that creature does have Defender, but then all the rest of the creatures on your board gets plus X, where X is that creature's power. So if you use Rana to be able to potentially give herself a boost here, and then if she can't attack anyway, there's really nothing wrong with you potentially giving her a boost of +2/+3, and then tapping, by tapping and untapping, tapping again, and then using the Dragon Throne to potentially give your entire board +7/+8/+9. Well, all of a sudden, that's an overwhelming stampede type effect. A little bit more difficult to pull off, but it's definitely something kind of fun to think about. There's also other cards that give all your creatures, again, like Overwhelming Stampede, where it's the power you control, or again, Return of the Wild Speaker does get powered up the more power one of your creatures has. So it's really cool to be able to think about how you can make this deck work. I mean, 3/3 for 4 is not necessarily the most interesting stats, but again, I think there's a lot of room here, especially in green, and then red too. Red has a lot of really cool ways to be able to power up your creatures as well. So I really think that in Gruul colors, this is definitely some interesting design here. You get to play a lot with a lot of, honestly, dirt cheap commons that have come out in the last couple of years, and I think there's a lot of really cool design space here. So I really like this card. I'm honestly tempted to build this and just see if it works. And yeah, maybe report back on that if I figure that out. So I'm going to go with my third card. I'm actually going to go to one that actually refers to Rada in the flavor text on the regular card, and that is Garna, Blood Fist of Keld. Jeez, I cannot speak today. So Garna we have seen before in a different set, but again, this card works very differently than that one. So Garna is a 4/3 human berserker costing 1 black, red, red, and reads, whenever another creature you control dies, draw a card if it was attacking. Otherwise, Garna, Blood Fist of Keld deals 1 damage to each opponent. So, when I first look at this card, you think, well, this is easily Rakdos Aristocrats. You can easily just run a whole bunch of super cheap black, red cards, and you can, use the usual sacrifice outlets and just blow things up, take your opponents out just by basically sacrificing things, doing the Zulaport Blood Artist, Zulaport Cutthroat Blood Artist, Alter Dementia type game plan, where you're basically just creating a whole bunch of creatures, sacrificing them over and over and over for value, and bleeding out your opponents. And you can certainly do that. But what I really like is the fact you can draw a card if another creature you control dies if it was attacking. So honestly, you could even do the same sacrifice synergies with attacking creatures that give you attack triggers. And I really enjoy this kind of modality, honestly, is the fact that if your creatures get board wiped, if your board gets wiped and your creatures were not attacking, Garna will provide you a lot of value whenever those creatures die. But I really enjoy, in this particular instance, potentially having a bunch of chances to have red creatures or black creatures with those attack triggers, and then you can sacrifice them even, honestly, before combat, if you absolutely have to, because your opponents are probably not going to want to kill your creatures, because then you draw cards when they die. So you might be able to get a whole bunch of damage through, but in some cases, if you just want to draw cards, it might actually help to be able to sacrifice your own creatures at instant speed. Something like Village Rites, Costly Plunder, or even just honestly running like the aforementioned Altars or some other instant speed sac outlet. All of a sudden, if those creatures were attacking, you've potentially gotten that attack trigger. There's a lot of really, really cool attack triggers in Rakdos colors. And being able to sacrifice those creatures and be able to cash them in for cards is honestly a really cool design perk here. And again, you can still run the Blood Artist and the Zulaport Cutthroat type cards, your Bastion of Remembrances, and be able to get a whole bunch of value off that, but also be able to refill your hand very easily, very quickly. So Garna is, again, a third uncommon card here that I really think punches above its weight class. I really like this card. Maybe it'll be enough to actually make me rebuild the Rakdos deck. I don't know. We shall see. But I really like where this is going. Again, it doesn't necessarily lend itself to one linear game plan. You could really actually try to build around the first clause there and just be able to try to draw a boatload of cards and then just be able to do Rakdos aggro, honestly. Again, if your opponents are afraid of killing your creatures, they might not block. And you might be able to just push through massive amounts of damage. And if they do kill your creatures because they are massive threats, you're going to be able to draw cards and profit off of these creatures dying. So I really feel like this hits the best of both worlds. And honestly, it just seems like the kind of modal commander where you can really choose your own adventure off of it. And that's what I really like, is those commanders that really give you those options. So yeah, Garna seems like an interesting deck, and yeah, I really like the art, especially the stained glass alternate art. Looks really awesome. And we're going to go on to number 4. And number 4 on this list is a lot different, honestly, but still tugs at my aggro player heart. So the fourth commander I'm going to talk about is, you guessed it, another uncommon. And that one is going to be Tura Kenarud Sky Knight. Sky Knight is a 3/3 human knight costing 2 white, blue, blue, has flying, and reads, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token. So this basically says just play a bunch of instant sorceries, which blue and white love to do, which the Azorius Guild loves to do, and create a whole bunch of soldiers. And you know me, I love creature token decks, I love soldier decks. And honestly, having a commander who basically can give me an army in a can on top of army in a can cards, like my favorite Magic card, at least right now, called the Coppercoats, would fit perfectly in this deck. Because you're not only creating a whole bunch of creatures right off of that spell's ability, but then your commander is also gifting you another soldier. And I just love the ability. I always love these army in a can type commanders. Because I just love being able to build a gigantic board and then swing in. I mean, imagine playing Stormherd in these colors. You have blue to be able to protect your stuff. You have white to be able to give your stuff indestructible. And just imagine being able to play Stormherd and then being able to get yet another token off of that. And obviously, people are going to be running Anointed Procession, which makes a lot of sense. You're getting double tokens, etc., etc. But even on a budget, I think this deck really works. I feel like this, out of a lot, or pretty much out of all the commanders on this list, you could easily build as like a $10 to $15 deck and it would still slap in its own way. Just because you're probably going to be running a lot of instants or sorceries anyway. And again, there's a lot of really cool things you can do in white and blue just to cast sorceries. I mean, if you really want to go with like a $10 or $15 budget build, you can run, every time you play a Divination, you create a soldier. Every time you play just any sort of protection spell in white for 1 or 2 white, you get a soldier token. And white does actually have plenty of ways to be able to buff your creatures, and blue obviously has those combat damage equal, those coastal piracy effects where you're able to get a whole bunch of cards whenever your creatures deal damage. And Tura Kenarud definitely gives you the ability to be able to deal damage, that allows you to draw cards in those instances. So I really think that this could be a super budget commander that can actually, again, like I said, punch above its weight class in a lot of ways. Because it just, it seems really cool, and I like where this is going. I like token commanders. I just love what this can do. It's not overly powerful, so your opponents probably are not going to waste a lot of removal on it, but it's still a 3/3 flyer with a nice relevant ability if you like tokens. I feel like this one is probably going to be kind of controversial with a lot of folks because they say it's not powered up enough. But again, I'm not on the podcast here to go with popular thinking or popular convention. I'm here to just explain what I think, and I think this card's pretty cool and could easily be an awesome budget deck. So yeah, definitely look out for that one. And obviously, there are some really cool commanders that I feel deserve an honorable mention on this list. I really do want to mention Ivy, Gleeful Spell Thief, just for being a 2/1 fairy rogue for a green and a blue, who is definitely going to go in my fairies deck, if it still exists here anyway. But just being a nice way to copy any ability that that targets your or targets any creature, honestly, also gets copied for your commander. So I feel like that one's going to be really cool. Might be a little bit difficult to make a super casual version of this one, though, just because I feel like this commander is going to get busted very quickly. So something to keep an eye out for that one, if you're going to try to build a super budget like jank deck, is that you may not really be able to play with that too much. It might be difficult to find a pod, which is unfortunate because it's a really cool effect, and you could really run a $15 budget deck on that and still have fun. I want to also shout out Joyra, Ageless Innovator. You know, it's a Joyra card. It's pretty busted. You know, it does cool things and allows you to put artifacts on the battlefield in accordance with the number of Ingenuity counters you have on Joyra. And again, just being able to play stuff for free is pretty awesome. And, you know, blue and red have a lot of untapping abilities. It's easy to tap, untap, tap, untap, and you can just play a whole bunch of artifacts. So it kind of builds itself in a way. And, I mean, that's cool, but again, I do personally like variants, so I feel like there could be some cool things you could do, but also you might have to try to really go outside the box to build that card, or build around that card if you want to build something different. I also want to shout out Rona, Shieldred's Faithful. Rona is a 3/4 human wizard. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, each opponent loses a life, and you can return Rona from your graveyard. Actually, you may cast Rona from your graveyard by discarding two cards in addition to paying its other costs. So, again, you can just run a whole bunch of janky blue and black artifact. Oh, sorry, not artifacts, but instants and sorceries, and just be able to ping your opponents to death just with Ponders, which seems honestly pretty cool. So, yeah, you're getting cards, you're also dealing damage in black, direct damage spells, etc., and ping your opponents down. So it seems like a really cool little deck to play. Rona never stays dead, really, and yeah, it just seems like a really cool deck, easy way to draw cards, and so you never run out of a grip, and you can probably easily run, if you want to run at the CDH level, if you were interested, you could easily run an Adnaz off of this. So I think that, you know, there's another interesting sleeper, ha ha ha, yeah, not funny, but anyway, sleeper commander who might also be really cool at various levels of our game. Yeah, the last one I wanted to talk about is one that actually really intrigues me. I'm not quite sure exactly how I'd build it, but I want to see how people build this. This seems really cool, and I see the applications for it. I think I just need to spend a little more time thinking about it. And that one is Urg, Spawn of Turg. And Urg, Spawn of Turg, that's really fun to say, honestly, is a star 5 frog beast costing black, green. And reads, Urg, Spawn of Turg's power is equal to the number of land cards in your graveyard. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may put that card into your graveyard. And Urg has that Zurin Orb ability for black and a green, sacrifice a land, you gain 2 life. So Urg is a very interesting commander option because, again, it gives you the opportunity to surveil at the beginning of your upkeep. But the fact is, its power is equal to the number of land cards in your graveyard. Obviously, a lot of commander players love running fetch lands, or even cards like Terramorphic Expanse, which you sacrifice them to find other lands. And this could be an interesting Voltron deck where you're just trying to get lands in and out of your graveyard. You're trying to fill your graveyard. You could easily run something like Field of the Dead in here where you're bringing lands into play, sacrificing them. Obviously, the Gitrog monster would be really nice to have in this deck because you are going to be powering up your commander. And just the ability to sacrifice a land to gain a little bit of life is interesting, too, because if you can find a way to be able to synergize with that, it's really cool. So I'm not exactly sure how I'd build around this, but I think there's something interesting there with sacrifice effects for land cards. We don't have a lot of decks that work around this. Obviously, the Gitrog Monster and Titania are the two that come to mind. I do have a Titania deck that works fairly well. So the ability to be able to sacrifice land seems pretty cool. Again, not quite sure how I'd build around this, obviously off the top of my head, because it is a fairly challenging ability. Obviously, if you want to sacrifice land, Zurin Orb ends up just being a better option than paying mana and then sacrificing a land. But I know there are some hardy players out there who are going to try to build around this, and I kind of want to wait and see what people figure out with this commander, because this one seems interesting. Again, it's an uncommon legend, so it's definitely going to fall through the cracks, and I feel like the people who are going to build this are going to really spend the time figuring out exactly what to do with it, and that's kind of what I want to see, is instead of just having to filter through 1,000 deck lists, what are the 50 different deck lists going to look like in a couple of months here? And what are people running, and what can I do as a brewer to be able to expand upon that? So I'm going to keep an eye on Urg, obviously, just because I like the silliness of the card being a frog beast. but also just, you know, the super narrow nature of it. What exactly can you do with this deck? And yeah, definitely, I'm going to keep an eye out on that one for sure. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the top five commanders that I really am interested in taking a look at out of Dominaria United. Obviously, there's other cards on here, like I mentioned, that are really cool, but that I might not build around or, you know, kind of slip through the cracks for me. So anyway, I'm really excited about this new set, and I hope that I will be able to build some of these decks in paper in the coming months and then be able to play those. So yeah, thank you for listening, and if you're interested in checking out any of these commanders, again, you can find them at edhrec.com/sets/DMU. You can also find them at Scryfall. And again, you're going to be hearing a lot about them on other content creators' channels, so definitely check those out when you get the chance. I know that the Commander Cookout guys just released an episode recently about their favorite commanders from the set, so definitely go check that out. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. Before we end, though, I'd like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Row, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Face for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And again, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.